These couples here in the front row, they need to need some good preaching here this morning. So I'm going to start this way first, then I'm going to pray. I'm going to read this. I'm in preschool. I'm not built to sit still, keep my hands to myself, take turns, be patient, stand in line, or keep quiet. All of the time, I need motion, nativity, adventure, and to engage the world with my whole body. Let me play. Father, I thank and praise you for this day. I thank you, Father, for the time here, Lord, that we have, that we can study your word. We thank you, Father, for your word. And I ask, Lord, that as we do go through your word here today with this different kind of lesson here, Father, I just ask you would just help us to be able to bring it forth, and that your spirit just take full control. You would enlighten us with your spirit. And Father, we just ask that you would just help us with it. We ask, Lord, that you would be with the pastor and the message that you've laid upon his heart this week here, Father, for us. And Lord, that we can apply it to our lives. Lord, that's what we're here for, to learn more about you, to be more like you. And Lord, that as we go out here into this world, Father, these people will see us, Lord, see you in us. So we just ask, Father, you would just help us to be the people you want us to be for you. We praise you for this day. We thank you for the beauty of it and for the beauty that you've given to us these past couple days here, Father. And we know that you have more for us, and we know that you're going to be painting this earth around us. And Father, help us to take advantage of that and just look at it and just to know that it comes from you. We thank and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I was going to stop with the talking about the men last week, and I was going to start into you ladies, but we're going to, I found one more lesson here for the men, and for us all, really, and the name of it is How Couples Can Stay Together. Now, they say that the most common complaint that a pastor has, and I'm sure our pastor has it all the time, that he has complaints, you know, and things like that there, from the ladies who are married to Christian men, is either he won't talk to me or I can't talk to him. Hey, this is definitely something that is today. Communication is something that's, you know, between couples is either it's good or it's bad. And so have you learned to share? Have you learned to listen, men? We need to listen. My wife said she couldn't hear me this morning. She has selective hearing, too. So don't get... Women have selective hearing. I don't care what they say. They do. But anyhow. So, men, first of all, here we're going to give you a test just to see how good you are here today. Now, I'm going to ask... No, I'm not. I was going to grade yourself on this here as we go through this. As we go through this thing. Number one. When was the last time you arranged to have time with your wife to talk to her? Do not count any crisis which demanded discussion. Only count time spent because you wanted to talk to her. How many of you really want to talk to her?
Does asking us for supper count?
Well, I tell you what, these two up here are full of it today, so I got to be prepared. Well, when was the last time you talked to her, Pastor? Okay, grade yourself there, men. Number two, how do you and your wife handle conflicts? Do you tend to work them out or fight them out? Trip her as she goes out the... Man, I'll tell you. So what do you do? You know, do you try to work the situation out? You know, is it something? Men, when you get upset, do you try to work it out? Or is mum the word? For my house, mum's the word for me. My wife knows it. You just let me cool down, and then we can... It's no problem. But first, I have to cool down. I'm going to be honest with you. This lesson's for me. This whole lesson, everything in this lesson so far has been for me. And I'm going to admit it. You know, when something happens, just let me alone. Just let me cool down and we'll get it. But if you keep after me and keep after me, it's going to blow. That's just the way it is. That's just me. I don't know how rest of you guys react, but that's how I react. So, okay. Number three. This is a good one. Does your wife nag you? Why don't you do what she asks before it comes to this? I hate to put this in up there. I just really hate to put this in up there. Because she always wants something done, and I don't do it right away. And if I don't do it right away, now, she doesn't really nag me, but she just lets me know now and again that... Yeah, I guess that helps out a little bit there anyhow. But, you know, and we're going to be talking about this here in a little bit, you know, about wives nagging and things like that there, you know. There is times, ladies, that you have to, you know, you have to understand what's going on and what's happening and what's taking place, you know. We get busy. Listen, this is a typical man. They get busy. They have their mind on one thing, getting it done. It's all right, Corb. But anyhow, you want to get it done, you know. And so you got your mind on that, and then all of a sudden she comes up with something, and you got it. I mean, you're getting it. So, well, anyhow. Number four. When was the last time you arranged to have a day or two alone with your wife? How much time did you spend talking together about your deepest feelings and needs? It's been a while, hasn't it? It's been a while, hasn't it, gentlemen? Some of you, anyhow. But you remember when you were first married, them first days, them first weeks, how you talked together and things like that there? When we were first married, I go to bed tonight at night to sleep. My wife's mouth would run a mile a minute. She would go, yep, 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 yep. And I'm laying there, She talked and talked. I mean, and it was a long time after we were married that finally she must have learned. You know, but, you know, it's good to talk. You know, you got to have a certain time to talk. But when it's bedtime, man, I want to sleep. I'm tired. So, you know, but anyhow, that's what it was like whenever we were first married. Different today. Huh? This is supposed to help me. She made me do this lesson, so. Number five. When was the last time you took your wife out to dinner alone? You know. Well, it's a tough situation. I know it's a tough situation when you have kids. And we used to, you know, at least if we did get out, which wasn't much, the kids went along. And it was most of the time that stupid McDonald's, and I hate it. To this day, I hate McDonald's. But that's all we could afford. And I understand that, you know, I understand. But you need to, I mean, listen, you started out as just the two of you. So you need to. You know, both of you need to get out together once in a while and get alone. Now, there's some of you older people here now. You don't have kids and stuff, and I'm sure that you do it. If you don't, you need to. You know, it's just something that you need to do. Next test here. How you doing, guys? Are you getting A's here, B's? What are you getting?
We'll bring 4 and 5 into play. We're going to drop the kids off probably Thursday night. We'll pick them up Monday.
See, and that, you know... And that's what I thought, you know. No, really, seriously, this is what I thought for especially with you guys, you know. I know there's people that you don't want to let your kids with. And, you know, it's hard to find yourself a babysitter to take care of all the kids and stuff. So, you know, that's a tough situation. I can understand that. But, yeah, no, go ahead. When did you say, Thursday? That's fine. That's fine. I'm in Allentown, so it's okay. Number six, do you spend more time sharing with your wife or watching TV? You know, that's a big one there. You got to watch yourself. You know, you need to talk to her. And number seven here, what are the biggest problems your wife is facing now? Gentlemen, if I asked you, and that's what it says here, you know, a little bit, if I'd asked you to list three things that your wife is facing now, could you? Could you do that? And it can be anything. I'm just saying, you know, it can be anything. You know, it's just one of them things. Ask her tonight what she thinks they are and compare your list with hers. So there, you know, there's a good thing. How well do you know your wife and her pressures and needs? Corb, she has a lot of pressures during the day, buddy. All them kids. Homeschooling and that. You know, you have to be, this is where we men need to be sensitive. And, you know, there's lots of times we're not. That's the thing. And it's just something that we have to be. So, you know, there's the questions. There's your test, gentlemen. How did you rate on it? You think it up yourself. Well, let's go on here now with the lesson. Yes, yes. She did. No, she didn't. Comes from my lesson. Go ahead, Nancy.
Ron got pretty close to 100, if not 100. But I guess that doesn't count because we're still newlyweds and we don't have any kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You newlyweds, you got her made so far. Just wait. Just wait. Your time's coming. It's coming, Charles. Believe me, it's coming. Believe me. Anyhow, okay, yeah. No, I had them all there.
How do you handle your wife when another woman calls you at 11:30 at
A couple weeks ago, I wasn't going to tell this story, but since he brought that up, this was a funny one to me. I'm not kidding you. I about lost it. They had me up at Smithport, and it's probably about a 3-hour drive from here. And I wasn't driving, and I was staying at Becca's place, and it was probably about around 2-hour drive for us. And so we were going back and forth. Well, then they asked if, and they were putting a night shift together, and they asked if there was anybody that wanted to be on night shift. Well, I volunteered for it because the guys that I was with had kids, and I wanted them at least to see their kids. So I said, I'll do it so that they can see their children when they go home at night. So another guy and I, we were driving it back and forth. We were meeting at Woodland there, and we were driving back and forth. And then it got to the point, I'll tell you. I mean, him and I, and I'm not a talker, but him and I were yakking the whole time for 2 hours straight, trying to keep one another awake, because he'd drive and I'd drive. Well, then I decided that I was going to stay up. We decided they had a motel room probably from where we were working about a half an hour away, and they said they'd pay for it, so we decided to stay there, this guy and I. We go there, and I call home, and I'm talking to her, and I said that we're staying in a motel. She goes, "Who? Who's staying in the motel?" I thought, and I told her, this other guy, OJ and I said, we're staying here in the motel, because they said, right away she thought, see what she thinks? I'm with another woman or something. And I lost it. I thought that was the hilarious thing that she come out of her mouth for a long time. Yeah, right, an old man like me with another woman. I could just see that. But anyhow, nothing. I was having problems. They were having problems with my furnace, my outside furnace, and she had to call him to take care of it. So, okay, what happens when couples don't communicate? What do you think happens? What happens when couples don't communicate? Exactly right. What? Anything else? Go ahead. And that happens too, you know. Yeah, and same way with the women, you know, as if they're in a secretary job or something like that there. Yeah, exactly right. Anybody else? Go ahead. Okay, good one. Sure.
My husband and I, we're never close. We're not the close-knit of people you think we are. Well, he has his room where he watches television. I have my room where he watches television. You might sit down. If I asked him something, it's what you want. And this went on while we were raising kids. And we have a conflict with money right now, really bad conflict with money. And he always had his money, and I paid the bills no matter what. I used to could work to make it up, now I can't. So we always had conflict with money about money. And one of the things I remember telling my girl was that I'm leaving him, I can't take it anymore. Well, you're the one that caused it, you must have get away with it.
Seriously, that is money is something that is, you know, with couples, that's a tragic thing. It can be a tragic thing. You know, I was even talking to some guys this week, especially one that I was working with, and he's just going back to work within the past 2 years. He's been at HRI, but he's just came back to work, and it was getting to the point where his wife worked, but they couldn't. He's telling me she likes to spend money, and he told her you can't spend it because we don't have it, and you know there was conflict there. You could see it. You know, money is a conflict, and you have to be very careful. You got to be very careful how you spend it, what you spend it on, and things like that. Especially when if you don't have it, you can't spend it. And that's the problem today. You young couples, this is a problem today. Watch these Visa cards and all that kind of stuff. You can get yourself so in debt, it's unreal. Don't do it. If you have a problem with it, cut them up and throw them away. Because it's going to just create problems in your marriage and problems, you know, with everything around you. So, you know, it's one of them things. So what happens when couples don't communicate? Well, we have a Bible situation where the couples didn't communicate. And we're gonna look at it. It's something tragic that something begins so well and turns out so sour as it does. And we can see this in the lives of Isaac and Rebecca. They did not communicate. At first they did, but then they did not. And we're gonna go through this here. So this is what happens in a marriage when a husband and wife stop communicating with one another. Okay, so number one here, the wonderful beginning. Go to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24 here, it goes through of... Abraham's servant being sent back to his land so that he could get a wife for Isaac that was from his seed. He didn't want to marry in some off-breeds or something like that there. You know, he wanted it from his seed so that it would be a true seed that came down through. And so what he does, he sends him back to his country to get this. And he finds this girl at a well, Rebecca. And she comes there and she takes care of his cat, the animals that he had, his camels and all that stuff that he had there. And then they got to talking back and forth and he went to their house. And he ended up that he was going to bring her home. Now, first of all, ladies, let me ask you a question. What would you think if your family made arrangements for your wedding? You don't know who you're marrying. You don't know what he's like. You don't know what he looks like or anything like that. Could you imagine? You just think about this a little bit. You think about Rebecca here. Here she is, and she's going to leave her own country to go someplace else to another country. And she doesn't know what what's going to happen, what's going to take place, or anything. So I have to give it to her, you know, because she's doing the same thing that Abraham did. Abraham left his country. Now she's leaving her country too. Okay? So she's leaving here, and she's going to go to a man that she's going to marry who she doesn't even know nothing about. Let me start here. Let me start at verse 52. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. This is when they tell her that Rebekah can go and can be. So, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and the men that were with him and tarried all night, and they arose up in the morning, and he said, send me unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, after that she shall go. Now, number one, I don't think that they even should be messing around here asking her brother, this Laban. You know Laban after that boy there. And Rebecca, I think, learned a lot from him. He's a deceiver. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. But you read your Bible, you'll know that this man here was a deceiver. There's no doubt about it. Because look what he did to Jacob later on and stuff like that. And he knew how to work him. But see, she learned it. Jacob learned it. You know, it just was something that was passed down. But anyhow, 56, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. See, they're trying to hold this off, and he don't want them to. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahorah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So here's their marriage. You know, here it is. She meets him. Their marriage. Everything that takes place. It starts out, like I say, starts out like a wonderful beginning. I mean, same way with you guys. You know, it started out really good. You know, a lot of you, and it still is a lot of you. It's really good. But there's some people, you know, today the thing is, well, if I don't like it, just get divorced. Get rid of it. Get rid of them. You know. And it's so stupid, it's pathetic. Work the problems out. When there's problems, work them out, you know. So you have to trip her. So you have to scrap with her or something like that there. Work them out. But anyhow, you know, so we can see here, you know, it started out as a great thing. It was a wonderful beginning. But number two here, the first test comes along. Now, Any time that, you know, a lot of people that are married, there's some that doesn't, but a lot of times, you know, sooner or later, they're going to want children. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Children are a blessing. Grandchildren are a blessing, especially when they get in and get the shampoo and take it and put it all over themselves, and that the mothers and the grandmother doesn't know what's going on. They're not watching the children. That just happened to our house here this past week. And so they ended up one comes out going bleh, bleh, bleh. And she couldn't figure out. Then all of a sudden she seen what was the matter. Well, needless to say, we had to put them in the bathtub, I guess. So, you know, watch your kids. That's all you got to do. I'm a priest. I am a preschooler. No, I know that. I think things like that are really funny. But you know, when my kids were that age, I probably wouldn't have thought it was funny. But boy, I really think it's funny now with the grandkids. I love it. I love grandkids. I'm not kidding you. I can spoil them and send them home. So you know. But anyhow, here's the first test. So like I said, Rebecca wanted children, and it was important in these days to have a boy first. You know. Not a girl, but a boy first. The firstborn should be a boy if it was anything. But anyhow, she wanted to have, and she had no children for 20 years. Now, I'll show you this. Look at Genesis chapter 25 there and verse 20. Whoops, where is it? And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Pandorum, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. So when they got married, he's 40 years old. Okay? Now, 25, 26. And after that came his brother out, and he took his hand on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she was barren. How old was he? 60. So there's 20 years that proves, the Bible proves, that she did not have children. She finally had children in the 20th year, you know. This is something here that they both, you know, that they wanted. They wanted to have them. As a matter of fact here, I wanted to read a little bit more here. Let me go back here to, I should have just kept reading. Verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah conceived. So this is the second thing here that goes on. He prayed for her because she had a burden. She wanted children. And so he entreated the Lord. That's what the Bible says there, right there in verse 21. He entreated the Lord because she was barren, and the Lord entreated him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. They prayed together. I'm sure they prayed together as a couple about this too. But he also himself, by himself, prayed, you know, for children to come. And, you know, I mean, she wasn't expecting to have twins at first, you know, the first thing. But, you know, it ended up being that. And that's what it goes on here to say. But what I'm trying to point out here is that they prayed together as a couple, you know. And he prayed for her. So, gentlemen, do you pray for your wife? Does she pray for you? You know, I know my wife prays for me all the time. She has to, especially with us traveling and things like that now, you know. And it seems as if that on Sunday nights here, Chad, I let him drive down, and it seems like he always gets the sunny weather. When I come home, I got to hit the rainy weather, plus wrecks and everything else where I got to sit in line. And then I think I'm a smarty, and I take another route to beat it out, and don't I get into another wreck, and I got to sit there. That's just what happened to me on Friday night coming home. But anyhow, I know my wife prays for me, and, you know, I pray for her. And so I really prayed for her when she was, a couple years ago, she was very sick all summer long. And, I mean, it was touch and go for a while, and, you know, I didn't know what the Lord had, and I know she was the same way. We didn't know what was going on. You know, the doctors couldn't find nothing wrong with her. I still don't know whether they even know to this day what happened or what took place. But finally, I think it was with much prayer that she got better from it. So we need to pray for one another. You know, in a Christian marriage, there should not only be communication between the husband and wife, but also between the couple and their Lord. If you're a Christian, you both need to have a relationship with your Lord. You need to communicate with him. And both of you need to communicate. He's the one that can solve the problems. He's the one that, if you know, if there's anything that's going on, you know, between you and her, he can solve it. They just need to learn to speak to him in prayer, listen to him in Scripture. Isaac and Rebekah overcame this problem, but winning the battle isn't winning the war. You see, you can win the battle sometimes, but sometimes there's a war out here. The devil's out to get couples, especially Christian people. And if he can just sit back and laugh and just tear a family apart, he's going to do it. So that's another reason why you need to be trusting in the Lord, praying to Him, talking to Him, and helping them to get you through. So we've seen here, like I say, we've seen here where that Abraham prayed for him. Abraham, it ended up here that she had twins in her. The Lord said in verse 23 that she had two nations in her womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from the bowels, and one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So he says this here, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And then it tells you about the difference between them. Why don't I read that? And the first one came out all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau, and after that came out his brother. And so, et cetera, there. So we see here, this was their first test. They passed the test because they prayed together. They had children. It took 20 years to have children, but they finally had children, you know. And so they had the children. Now, number three here. Here's where things start. The opening cracks. Genesis 25, 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Here's where it started. Favoritism amongst the children. We've talked about this before, but that is a no-no. You cannot do that. This is what parted these two, as far as I care, that they didn't communicate one with another because of we're going over here, the things that happened and took place. Favoritism is a sin. It's decisive. It can cause your wife to take part of the less favored. While some children may be more appealing to us than others, we must treat all alike and never give our heart to one without withholding it from another. And here was the problem with these two here. They didn't work it out together with the Lord. One loved the other one and didn't. Grandparents, don't do the same thing either. Let me just tell you that right now. I'll just say it this way. I've seen grandparents pick and choose. I've seen a grandparent pick and choose between twins, just like these here twins. It's not right. It is not right. You cannot do that, you know. And after a while, as far as I care, these children, they can feel it. They can sense it. They know it. That you have had favoritism with one or the other, and you cannot do it. You just can't do it. They're all equal. Yes, they're all different, but they're still equal, and you need to love them all, no matter what, with favoritism and things like that. So, I believe that this is where it all started with Isaac and Rebekah, and then what happens here? Number four, the tragic failure, Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, verses 6 and 7. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, said he, "the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." Well, he thought his wife here was a good looker and stuff, and he was afraid. Where it was some place where he just should have had some guts and stood up and said, "No, she's my wife," you know, because I'm sure right here at this particular time is when Rebekah lost respect for him because of it, you know, because of it, this is something else here that happened and took place. I believe that started to take the couple and started to turn them. You know, that they didn't communicate and stuff with one another. I'm sure this had to hurt her when he said that. And I'm sure she was probably standing there when he said that, you know, at that particular time, saying that she's not my wife, she's my sister. Well, then you know she's open game, the dummy. And then you know what happens and takes place there with that one king and things like that there. So, but anyhow, This is where another time where the tragic failure had begun with that too. Now, here's where I think the final distance starts. Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. I'm going to read a lot of verses here, so we'll see if we can get through this. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 1. And it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, I am now old. I am not of the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me a savior meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. So here he's going to bless the firstborn, and that's what they did. That was their custom, that they blessed the firstborn. The firstborn gets everything. I don't know why that they did that. They talk about favoritism and things like that there, but the firstborn usually got everything in their times, you know. From my understanding, you know, and stuff, and the way that I'd handle things, that wouldn't happen, you know, no matter what. Everybody's equal, and they should get all equal things, but they don't do that. But anyhow, he's going to bless his firstborn here. Now, here it is. And Rebekah heard. Isn't it funny, men, how sometimes that women can hear things that you can be whispering, and she'll say, I heard that. You know what I mean? I just wanted to bring that in there as I thought about this here. Anyhow, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savior meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I commanded thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 kid goats, and I will make them savior meat for thy father, such as he loved. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is hairy man, and I am a smooth man. You see, here she starts her deception stuff. She learned this from her brother, and she's teaching Jacob the same thing here. Be careful what you do, because your children can pick up on it. He says, anyhow, number 12 here, then verse 12, he says, My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch them. She already knew what she was doing. She already knew what she was going to do. You know, you know the account, but we're going to read it anyhow. And so, verse 14, and he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took a goodly garment of her eldest son Esau's, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of goats, of the kids of goats, upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savior meat and bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. See there, he picked it up already. I'm Esau. The deception started. It's on to him right now. You know, he's picked it up from his mother, and he's telling him, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. His dad, I know he couldn't see, but if he would have just went with his senses here, as we see here, you know, he'd have figured it out, but he didn't. He says, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God hath brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be very son of Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice. You see that? He knew his voice, but he didn't go by that. But the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother's hands, and his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near unto him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near," and he kissed me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his raiment and blessed him. You see, she knew what she was doing there when she got Esau's raiment, because his raiment smelled different from being outside than from Jacob being inside all the time, because that's what Jacob was. Jacob was in with his mother, and Esau was outside. He was a hunter and stuff, and that's how his father, you know, and him got together like that. But anyhow, blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God hath given thee the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine." And so he blessed him here, and you know the account. Esau comes back. He hates Jacob because of it, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of my mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." So his mother, Rebekah, finds this out. She decides that it's better for him to get out of there. And she said, let me read verse 43 here. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away." Was it a few days? It was years. I mean, he served Laban for years. Before then, he wanted to get married, and Laban gives him his first daughter first, Leah. Then Rachel. And he served 7 years for both of them. There was 14 years just for them two, plus the time that he was there. And he became a deceiver there because of he learned from his mother. He learned from Laban. You know, Laban was ripping him off. He wasn't paying him and stuff. And so what's he do? They made a thing between the two that he would take the animals that weren't that their coats and stuff weren't clear. And he put some kind of a piece of wood in their water, which he knew he must have experimented with this. He knew that, you know, whenever they bred and had their animals and stuff like that there, that they wouldn't come out. They would come out, I forget what he called it, ring strangled or something like that, that they wouldn't be. And his herd got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so he was a deceiver too. He learned it from his mother. But see, this is the final distance of between these two, and you gotta beware of drifting apart like this. Beware of getting your feelings hurt. Beware of saying, "What's the use?" Beware of sinking into a solemn silence. It is the death of the home, and it is. That is the death of the home. You know. Getting your feelings hurt and saying, "What's the use?" You know, giving up and things like that there. Here there was four people: Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau. They all ended up, you look at it, look at the account. They ended up, what? Alone. Jacob was someplace else. Esau was someplace else. Isaac and Rebekah ended up with neither one of them. You know, and they were just all alone. I mean, is that what you want? You want something like that? I wouldn't, you know. You don't want to be alone. So, you know, that's just something that happened to these two. They were living in the same house, but they were very far apart. They were. Isaac and Rebekah came to be two old lonely people who lost their chance at happiness because they let themselves drift apart because of some of the different aspects of this. Don't let this happen to you. Don't let it happen. Communicate with one another. Questions or comments there? I'm going to pick it up there the next time, which I guess we won't have it next week, but what keeps couples from communicating? We're going to be talking about that the next time. Any questions or comments? Dan, go ahead.
I keep thinking through as you read the story. I mean, God made this promise.
you pick up on that? I did too.
And, so those are just some of the things that are fleeting. And, you know, Isaac must have been either an accomplice or an idiot, because he heard Jacob's voice, but he trusted the feel. Is there not a difference between goat and venison?
Yeah, I don't know either. There has to be. I've never ate goat. Some people have eaten goat already. Matter of fact, a guy just asked me down there that where I was in Allentown. He said, "Do you ever eat goat?" I said, "No." We had some. So a guy gave us some goat meat, but my wife never made it. Go ahead.
There's just some thoughts that came through my head.
Yeah.
When Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of beans.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
About the spiritual, headship of his family, and that's what happened. He got, I can't explain away the sin in Rebecca's heart for deception, and I believe it was sin.
And one thing I want you to think about here and remember, according to the Muslims, Isaac wasn't the man; it was Ishmael. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, that was the thing I was going to mention, too. There's two sins here that did not allow God to do what he would have done. Abraham had Ishmael before he had Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And Ishmael became a problem for the rest of Israel's time.
Today, too.
And here, between Rebecca and Isaac, they didn't God to work his plan, and Esau became a problem for Israel,
mm-hmm.
because of his turned heart, turned away from God.
That's right, he did. Okay, we'll quit there. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for the teachings of it. And we just ask, Lord, as we try to be couples here, Father, that's following you, and you do want us to communicate with one another, that we can be able to work this out and work problems out and go to you about it. And just we just ask, Lord, that you would just help us, Father. You know we need help, Father, with this. Some of us do, and we just ask you would just help us. We ask for your guidance and direction now throughout the rest of this day, and give us a good time here, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.